some A/B testing. You've got to make sure that the message is properly reflecting the purpose. But if you're authentic and transparent in that purpose and in the communications, it's being proven over and over again that that is what people want.
Hi, my name is Dave Reske, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Evan Zoll, president of Longview Strategies. Evan spent more than 25 years in strategic marketing, although he looks like he's been doing it for two because he has a very youthful look. And he's launched Longview Strategies to formalize and apply an impact-oriented marketing mindset to an intersection of sustainability and business. Prior to founding Longview, Evan was president of a full-service marketing firm serving retail and professional clients. Evan is a member of the Boston Entrepreneurs Organization, co-chair of the EO Impact Committee, and co-founder of ESG Forward, a content and education platform focused on sustainable finance. Evan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, David. It's good to be here. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you too. Today's show, we want to focus on purpose-driven marketing, which I know is a passion of yours. And so I like to start these conversations by smashing a myth about marketing. So in your experience, what's something that most people think about purpose-driven marketing that's just not true?
I think what we encounter a lot that should have changed by now is the myth that having a purpose-driven business and infusing your marketing and communications with that purpose is a nice to have. And it's not really critical to growth. I mean, I feel like businesses really should have learned this through the pandemic, but it's night and day. When you're a purpose-driven business, it crystallizes so much of where you want to go, how you want to get there, what you want to say about it. It answers so many questions, and it helps you sort of consider the ecosystem that you're operating in, as opposed to just being in business for business sake, which can certainly work. And so there are plenty of companies that grow that way, but really transparency and knowing your place in the community and knowing your role in your industry and how you can elevate the industry, all of these things tie back to sort of what's your purpose. So that's the myth that is not central to business and growth is the one that I would like to take a hammer to, I suppose.
Yeah, that's great. So let's unpack that, you know, one kind of a piece at a time. So when many people think about a purpose-driven business, often they think about a nonprofit, right? So I'm saving the world, I'm getting clean water, I'm, you know, healthcare, I'm taking care of people's basic needs. How do, you know, ordinary businesses, you know, I'm doing paving, I'm like, you know, fixing roofs, I'm doing marketing. How do ordinary businesses think about like connecting their vision or what they're doing to a purpose in life?
Well, it starts with that ecosystem again and thinking about what's the role in the ecosystem and why is it important that I'm considering this? And what we learned through COVID is that companies, and we'll talk about large companies, then we can bring it down to smaller companies, large companies that were tone deaf to the ecosystem that they were operating in when COVID hit, and there's this absolute avalanche of cultural issues, of employee mental health issues, of employee physical health issues, and all of that sort of also colliding with the climate change issue. Companies that were not at all considering that were punished. They were punished on Wall Street. They were punished by their employees. They were punished on the bottom line. Coming out of that, the percentage of large businesses that really consider it their mandate to have strong corporate social responsibility programs, have strong environmental, social, and governance programs be put in place has skyrocketed, and it's now the norm. And if you bring that to small businesses as well, really the same thing applies. When you're recruiting, when you're getting your message out there, if it's clear that you're aware of the fact that you're employing people the customers and clients that you serve are people, and we all kind of live in this world together. And I understand how sort of retro that sounds. It comes through. So how do you consider it? You start by saying, what is my impact in this business, whether it's how I treat my employees or if it's a paving company, how is this, how am I helping the community? How am I helping my customers? And simply being aware of that, that's the starting point.
Wow. So it's really eye-opening for me. So it's so much broader than just like what product you're making or what you're kind of delivering. It's like the total impact that you're having on the world, your employees, your, you know, the policies, the environment, maybe the waste you're creating, the energy you're using, all of those things. It's so much broader.
At Longview Strategies, we do have, so our purpose is to help drive capital into sustainability. So a lot of the clients we work with are either on the financial side, or they have corporate sustainability programs, or they have some aspect of their business that's focused on this. So for us, we do talk about, okay, we're driving capital into these areas. That's our why, that's our purpose. And that does, you know, we're a small business, but that does have an impact on our clients and therefore the industries that they're in and the employees that they have and the world. Little lofty, admittedly. And so not every business has to have that lofty a purpose. However, everything that they do, and this is where it starts to get into the marketing and communications, is part of the brand, is part of the ethos, is part of how you operate, recruit, sell, and it's a part of business.
Cool. So let me just ask you about our change the world approach and see how it kind of fits. So at NowSpeed, we think about changing the world through the work of our clients, because we're a marketing firm too. So we want to help clients grow and be more effective and get leads and sales and all that stuff. And we see their growth as changing the world because they're doing good things. And I actually started giving an award quarterly to clients. So what we do is we vote as a team on the client that's changing the world the most this quarter. Sure. And this quarter we awarded it to a company called Apifix, which is a medical device company, which our team felt was making the greatest impact on the world. And then we made a donation to the Red Cross in their honor, just as a way to make it feel tangible. Is that enough to feel like we're doing something to be purpose-driven, or is that just like a Band-Aid and we should be kind of thinking broader, kind of using us as an example?
Well, first of all, I love it. And I love that you're doing that as a team, and also wrapping in the donation as well. I would say that is an outcome or a corollary to the purpose. So we would say, I mean, we started with this exercise in terms of determining our why. If you were to work backwards from that, we'll call it a tactic, to what does it tie up to? What is the purpose that supports? Then, yeah, I think it's a great example, as long as it ties into the purpose. For us, the purpose leads to things like the cultural work within the company, like the volunteerism that we're getting off the ground more and more, and driving into aligning with driving capital into sustainability, aligns with our core values. When we interview people, it's part of the interview. So again, that is a fantastic example of an activity that ties up to the
purpose. When you start talking to large companies about purpose-driven business, do you find that they easily get it? Or are you just by nature talking to people who already get it? Or what happens when you talk to somebody who's like, yeah, you know, we make cement and we make money by making cement and it's great. Yeah. Because we're rich and it's and people need cement, so we keep making it, and they don't see. So when you kind of have a company like that, I'm just using, and I love cement. Kind of cement makes the world go round. I think
we all need cement.
We all need cement. But how do you kind of start that conversation with people? And again, do they kind of you find that they get it, or do they, you know, when they don't get it, what do you do to kind of open their eyes?
So yeah, there's definitely a learning curve. it is self-selecting in our business because this is who we are. We often end up talking to prospects and clients who get it at some level, who embrace this, I should say, at some level. Yeah. And often they're looking to us to sort of expand the mindset a little bit and say, okay, we know this is important. Here's what we're doing. What else should we be doing? And how can we formalize that program? So that's who we're talking to most. There's still a huge education curve, and this is actually what I hope to bring to the role with EO's impact committee, which is more of an educational bent, because there are, you know, still, it's probably the majority of businesses, especially small businesses, who don't have shareholders that are saying, this is important to us, you have to address this, that don't see the connection or feel that it's a nice to have. Take a look at the sort of guiding light of larger companies where they're being held accountable, and CEOs are being held accountable. They're stepping down in some cases because their actions are not aligning with the needs of the ecosystem, and they're not considering this stuff. So we sort of point to that and then bring it back to the small business level. It's a different scale, but the root, the core, remains the same, that we're all operating within an ecosystem. None of us are operating in total isolation. We just think that's going to become rarer and rarer as time goes on.
Yeah, and that's really powerful. So let's bring this back to marketing. So how do companies do a good job with purpose-driven? Let's say they're a purpose-driven business. They're really thinking, and they've got programs for their employees, for the environment, for their customers, and they're really thinking about this all the way. How do they do a better job with bringing that to the forefront in marketing? Or do they? Or do they just like say, hey, we feel good about being a purpose-driven company. We don't need to tell the story. Or should they tell the story? How do they get it out there? How do they use it?
No, they should absolutely tell the story. It should be part of the message. It should be part of the brand. And when it's reinforced through different marketing channels, both internal through employee engagement and external through all of the marketing channels that we know and love so well, then you start to create brand advocates and brand loyalty in a fashion that has sort of changed over the past 15 to 20 years. The next generation, well, now as we're getting older, the current and next generation of buyers and decision makers is much more aware of the purpose-driven aspect of business, of the ecosystem, and they make decisions. It's part of the decision-making process. How is this company behaving with their employees from a diversity, equity, and inclusion standpoint, from a sustainability standpoint? I can tell you, we have clients, large and mid-size, that have told us that it is now a routine part of RFPs that they need to answer these questions. Hmm. So making it part of your communications and part of your brand helps with those RFPs. It helps with employee engagement. It's central to everything.
Wow. So it should really be just a core part of the brand and what they're doing. So how do they do that? How do you kind of go from an ordinary brand to a purpose-driven brand? Is it a new logo? Is it part of your tagline? Is it like what happens?
I mean, certainly it's case by case. But I would say first, starting with the message, how does it influence the brand? Where does it sit in the message and getting that language right? But then things like formalizing initiatives, communicating initiatives, we're big fans of reporting. So developing an annual impact report that shows what it is you're doing. And sometimes that has to start small. If you're a small business, there's only so much you can do, right? So maybe it's not a full report, but maybe it's a summary, or it's some kind of an infographic that's showing your different programs or different initiatives that you've undertaken. Maybe if you're giving an award to clients who change the world, maybe it's a summary of those clients in a slideshow. I mean, these are tactical things, but you can see how it sort of weaves into marketing. At the mid and large size company level, we try to start with that impact report, and if they're a public company with a more formal environmental, social, and governance program and ESG reporting, that's kind of central to the analyst world as well, and to answering to shareholders. So getting everything formalized in these reports then gives you a launch pad to proliferate the message from the report to the website and throughout the website to regular communications channels.
Yeah. So you make it, you know, part of all communications eventually, and it just becomes part of your brand and part of your core message. It's really interesting. So I can see how this is strategic. If you're the CEO, you've got shareholders, you've got maybe regulatory issues, reporting. So I can see how the strategic part of this and the purpose-driven marketing and being a purpose-driven business. But what about the bottom line? Is there any way to measure the impact of being a purpose-driven business, you know, across any marketing or sales programs? If a CEO says, yeah, that's interesting, but I got to ultimately deliver a return to my shareholders, can I measure any of this?
Mm-hmm. That is a great question. And isn't it the classic marketing question? How do we measure this? It's a long tail question because, again, the buyers have been changing, the decision makers have been changing. So you test it. And I would say that, again, there are stats out there. I won't parrot the stats, but the percentage of millennials, for example, that factor in these equations into which brands they're going to go with, what they're going to buy, and the engagement of the engagement between companies and their buyers around these issues is much stronger. And employee advocacy, having those brand advocates out there because they appreciate what their company is doing. These are all things that are measurable over time. But as you would love, I'm sure, you got to do some A-B testing. You've got to make sure that the message is properly reflecting the purpose. But if you're authentic and transparent in that purpose and in the communications, it's being proven over and over again that that is what people want. From a strategic communication standpoint, you hear all of these stories and anecdotes about case studies where the old school way of dealing with a crisis has changed so dramatically, because what people want to see is accountability, authenticity, transparency. They want the CEO to come out and say, this went wrong. I'm sorry. Here's what we're doing to fix it. It's that kind of spirit that engenders the brand loyalty and makes people feel good about the company they're engaged with. So again, that's just an example of the large scale, but how that filters down and how it in the end becomes measurable.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as a digital marketer, I'm just thinking ahead, there's lots of ways you could test a bunch of those messages in A-B testing. You could do focus groups or other research to figure out if that the message is resonating. And I think ultimately, it feels like brand loyalty could be affected by, you know, by having a better brand associated with being purpose-driven. And ultimately, maybe a B2B business has less client churn. B2C business has, you know, more regular purchases. I think there's a lot of ways that you could ultimately, but it is a long-term play. And I think it's cool that it's very strategic, but it's also very, could ultimately be measurable, make an impact. But I think that the interesting thing about it is will CEOs, and I think CEOs should do this, is even if it's not measurable, it feels like they should be doing it because it's the right thing to do. And do you find that you're dealing with executives who want to do it because it's the right thing, even if it's if it can't be measurable?
Absolutely. And we have one client. I have a bunch that I could pull from, but one client, they're an accounting firm in, well, I guess they're an accounting firm, AAF CPAs. And they are very passionate about where they sit in the ecosystem. They're very outspoken about it. And it's because they believe that that is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for their people. They're very, very aware of all of this. Their growth story is tremendous. And yet you can't really separate the two.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Well, it's really cool to hear stories of high integrity. I think the media is filled with stories of low integrity of business. Businessmen are liars and cheats and stealers. Business people, I should say. They're liars and cheats and stealers. And it's great to see your experience around people of high integrity making a huge impact and being really purpose driven.
Yeah. It's rewarding. It makes it fun to get up in the morning.
That's great. Well, Evan, this has been a great conversation. Thanks for sharing your insights on purpose-driven marketing. If people want to connect with you and learn more about your firm or PR and marketing communications, how should they get in touch with you?
You can definitely find me through our website at longviewstrategies.com or on LinkedIn. Evan Zoll, nothing too tricky about it. And feel free to reach out.
Great. Well, thanks, Evan, for your time today. Great spending time with you, and have a great rest of the day.
All right. You too.